Hi, this is Mark. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share this message with you entitled, Jesus is Our Rest. The work of redemption was completed in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, enabling us to be born again as children of God. He did the work for us. We must simply believe and receive all the benefits that He accomplished for us. We must enter into His rest. And by our faith, receive from Him all that belongs to us. I hope that this message blesses you.
Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we welcome You here as we pray, as we preach and teach Your Word. We welcome You to be a part of this time, to teach us by Your Spirit, to reveal to us what's in Your Word so that we can benefit from it, so that we can utilize it in our everyday life. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've accomplished for us at the cross and as You were raised from the dead. Thank You for Your life that You've made available to each and every one of us. Hallelujah. I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest You now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray that I am able to deliver this word with clarity and that the hearts of the people will be receptive, open to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord has been working on me in the last, several days, I guess, slowly trying to get a revelation over to me. And I'm seeing it. I can't say that I have the full picture of it, but I believe I do have enough that I can share it with you and that it's going to bless you. And I'm going to try to walk through the way in which He was able to get this over to me in hopes that He can do the same inside of you. So to begin with, and this kind of goes in line with this messages that we've been preaching regarding faith, and how the Holy Ghost began to unveil this revelation to me was by pointing out through the Gospels the number of instances in which people were healed and Jesus would look at the person and say, "Thy faith has made thee whole." So that's where we want to begin with. We want to see those instances, and it's more than just one. It's really, to me, is quite shocking when you look at the instances in which the wording "thy faith" is used. So I'm going to have to use my laptop here tonight because there's going to be a number of references that I'm going to be looking at. So if you'll bear with me, not something that I generally do when I teach like this. And I'm just going to cover these very quickly here at the beginning, these instances where the wording "thy faith" is used. The first one is Matthew 9:22, and this is the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm just going to read the verse where it says this: Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, that's the woman with the issue of blood, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Hallelujah. Thy faith. I mean, if you're looking at this and you're thinking, well, this person was healed because it was Jesus. Because it was the Son of God. That's the reason. And you miss, as I think I've missed at times, just kind of assuming things, miss what the wording here is saying. he's looking at this woman with the issue of blood who has just been healed, and he is saying, thy faith, in other words, your faith, that's what has made you whole. Hallelujah. Now, I just let that settle in. That, and as I say that, this thought comes to mind. Too many of us at times, and I have to raise my hand, guilty as charged, for what I'm about to say. Too many of us who have grown up in Pentecost, we have looked at the man behind the pulpit and we have elevated that individual to a position where if we are sick and we want to be healed, I got to go find the most anointed man so that he can pray for me and I can be healed. You see, that's not what happened here. What happened here was this person received, not because of Jesus' faith, it was her faith. Hallelujah. You know, as a minister, there have been times that I have been in prayer lines praying for people. You know, I'm the minister praying for the individual. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the person that I was praying for, when I laid my hands on them, their expectation was that I was going to get their healing for them. That's not what this woman did. This woman was not looking to Jesus to get the healing for her. Get a hold of that. This woman reached out in her faith. She had to have heard the words of Jesus and believed those words. And see, faith is the action, the corresponding action to what she believes in her heart. She reached out, and it was her faith that touched him and drew that life, that anointing from him, and she was healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to get better. Hallelujah. All right, next, this is going to be the woman of Canaan. Now, the woman of Canaan, she wasn't even a Jew. And look at what it says here. And I'm just going to read the verse. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Glory to God. I'm just feel like I need to check that out. I'm going to go in here just real quick because I want you to see the determination of this woman. In verse 21 of that chapter, Matthew 15, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Do you hear what Jesus is saying to her? I mean, he is in essence saying that she's a dog. Now, how many people would be offended by those statements? But this woman, she knew what she wanted. She believed in her heart that this was going to be the answer to her problem. She believed the word that she had heard about Jesus. And this, listen to her answer. dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Glory to God. Great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. He's telling us in these words that it's the faith of the people that they have heard the words that he's spoken and believed and responded and have been healed. Hallelujah. All right, the next one is Mark 5:34. Again, this is the woman with the issue of blood. And in that verse, it says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The next one is blind Bartimaeus, and that's in Mark chapter 10, verse 52. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Okay, I felt inspired right here. We need to go into this example. Go back to Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Now, look real quick before we leave this. In verse 50, it says, when he stood up, he cast away his garment. In that time period, being a beggar, you wore a garment that said that this was the garment of a beggar that should receive people's money. And when he stood up, He stood up in faith, believing he wasn't going to need that garment any longer. He is being healed. Glory to God. And it was his faith. I can't stress that enough. No, Mark, it was because it was Jesus. It doesn't say that. It says it was the person's faith. Yes, they heard the words that Jesus had preached at some point, whether he heard him specifically or whether he heard someone reciting the words that Jesus has said. But somehow he believed, if I can just get to this man, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I know that I can be healed. And it was that faith believing. What am I saying in all of this? What is the Holy Ghost trying to get over to me and to you and to us? The fact that we are responsible individually for receiving from God. Stop looking to the man behind the pulpit to get it for us. Stop doing that. What happens if you're in a place there isn't a man behind a pulpit? Now what do you do? Now what do you do? You see, we have to be able to receive from him ourselves individually. No, we don't. We're not to have to go through somebody else to receive from God. It's our faith, believing everything everything that Jesus has accomplished for us is available to us if we will believe. It's up to us as individuals to believe. Am I saying that there's not times when a gift of healing is present? Well, I'm certainly not saying that. But those times, I truly believe, are reserved more for the individuals that aren't even saved, that haven't even come to Jesus. And it's to be a calling card to them, to draw them to Jesus. And yet, I can say this having been the minister looking at people, to see in their eyes the dependency that they have on me as a minister to try to get their healing for them. That's not what this is supposed to be about. This is the picture, the examples that we're seeing here in the gospel is not that these people went to Jesus and Jesus got their healing for them. That's not it. And if we have that mentality, I believe that we're going to be disappointed. What it should be is, I'm going to believe. I'm going to receive everything that's been made available to me because I believe. And I'm going to put action to what I believe, and that's faith. And I'm going to have everything that Jesus said belongs to me. Glory to God. All right. Going back here, the next one, the next example is going to be Luke chapter 7, verse 50. This is the woman with the alabaster box. I'm just going to go ahead and read the verse. This is after she had anointed Jesus' feet, and he said to the woman, verse 50 of Luke 7, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." All right. And the next one is Luke 8:48, and this is the woman with the issue of blood. All right, this is the one that I wanted to really look at. So let's go back here to verse 43. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him. Now, did he even know that this woman was coming for healing? He was thronged about with people touching him. That's what the disciples said when he asked him, "Who touched me?" They're like, "Hey, they're thronging. They're all over you, Jesus. How do we know what you're talking about? They're all touching you." But not like this woman touched him. "For he had..." "And the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, verse 43, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.'" Listen to how he said that. "I perceive. Something happened. Somebody made a demand on the anointing of the Holy Ghost in me. I felt it. I felt it come out of me." Who did that? Who did it? "And when the woman," verse 47, "saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort, because I have healed you.'" Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, "Be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." That's going to mess with some people's religion there, because they have everything attributed to Jesus did it. It was Jesus. Jesus is saying, thy faith has made thee whole. Glory to God. Next one, and there's two more left here. The next one is Luke 17, and this is the 10 lepers. And I'm just going to read the verse. And he said unto him, this is the one that came and thanked him, arise. Verse 19, Luke 17, 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Glory to God. All right, and then the last one is going to be Luke 18, verse 42. And it's talking about here, it's a certain blind man. It doesn't specify a name in Luke, whether it was blind Bartimaeus or, you know, who it was. But it in verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Hallelujah. So what am I saying here? What are we looking at? What we're seeing is that, and I'm going to set this aside for right now. What we're seeing here is it was the faith of the people. The people heard. The people believed. And because of that, they received from him. They received through the anointing of the Holy Ghost that rested upon Jesus when they touched him, they responded, they received their healing. Glory to God. So what does that mean for me today? Well, does that mean that I'm going to have to go looking for somebody else to minister to me in order for if I need healing or if I need anything, if I have any need at all, I got to go look for someone else, a go-between? No. What I need is the Word of God and faith, believing with a corresponding action to my faith, and I receive the answer. That's what it is. And that another point that it comes to my attention right now is people struggling with the idea of, do I have enough faith? Do I have enough faith? And they're questioning their faith. Or, you know, do I have enough faith to believe for this? And I refer back to this. I've said this in previous messages. When you came to Jesus, when I came to Jesus initially, responding to the call for salvation, I wasn't wondering if I had enough faith to be saved. That wasn't even a question. What I wanted to do was to simply believe those words. And I did. Now, one thing that I can tell you is the devil, immediately after I prayed the prayer of salvation, said, you didn't get anything. You didn't get anything. You see, he is always going to do that. He's always going to try to get you and me to question whether or not we received. And if we look to our natural bodies, if we look to the natural as proof, to give us proof if we receive something, we're going to be disappointed. Because I think back to that moment. Did I feel any different? Did I have the goosebumps? Was I crying? Was the glory of God overwhelming me? I didn't really have any of that. I simply saw the Word of God that said that if I confess that Romans 10, 9 and 10, and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I should be saved. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I should be saved. And I acted on that. I said, okay, Lord, I call you my Lord. I believe that I receive salvation. And did I feel any different? No. I simply acted on what the Word of God said and believed that that was enough. And it is enough. And did I have the questioning thoughts afterwards? Oh, certainly I did. And you will always have those thoughts. Even now, when I pray in faith, believing that I receive something, the enemy still tries to tell me, oh, you didn't get anything. He's a liar. And it's almost like his job is to try and convince me that by acting on the Word of God, I didn't get anything. You can count on it just like you can count on the sun coming up in the east tomorrow. When you stand on the Word and believe that you receive in faith, he is going to try and convince you, you didn't get anything. You didn't get anything. And what do you have to do? Do you have to worry and fret? Should you worry and fret? I'm not sure if I got anything. Did I get anything? How do I feel? Well, let's see. Well, I had a headache, but okay, yeah, it's still there. Well, maybe I didn't get it. And you go back and forth and back and forth. The next thing you know, you really talked yourself right out of it. And you let him convince you that you didn't get anything. And all the while, the Word of God never changed. The Word of God said, by his stripes you were healed. That's the Word. It'll never change. Healing is in our redemption. You've been redeemed from the curse. You go back and look at the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, and you see all those sicknesses. You've been redeemed out of all that mess. It's simply a matter of receiving, believing that you receive what's been accomplished for you. And that's where we're going here tonight. That's what Jesus wants us to see, is that we're not trying today to try and convince God that we deserve to be healed. We're not that's not the case at all. We're not trying to convince him of anything. It's us that need the convincing, and the convincing is it's already been accomplished. It's already been accomplished. Our prosperity has already been accomplished. It's a matter of receiving it, believing that we receive what's been made available to us. Our healing has already been accomplished. He's not going to go to the cross again. He's already gone to the cross. He's already paid the price to redeem us. And it's a matter now of us believing that we receive. And when the enemy comes trying to convince us, well, you need to go find somebody that's really anointed because you're not anointed. Who are you? You can't receive anything from God. You need somebody else. You know the whole litany of things. He'll do anything. The enemy will do anything to try and convince you that you're not worthy. You can't receive this yourself. And even if you did find somebody, that he's still going to have going to be trying to convince you that you're still not healed, that you still didn't get it. Well, you know that was an anointed person that prayed for you, but you're still just a no good so-and-so. And so even though they were anointed, you still didn't get anything. This is the way the devil operates. I hope you are wise enough to see his tactics, to recognize his tactics, to realize that he's a liar, that what comes out of his mouth are lies, and everything that he's about is trying to convince you that what Jesus did for you, that is not really for you, that you really don't qualify. You really don't qualify. You really, really, you don't qualify. That's not for you. That's for somebody else. You know, you're not worthy. You've made too many mistakes. You've done too many things wrong. This isn't for you. You haven't done enough good things. You know, the list will go on and on. And or it's going to be, well, you just don't have the faith. You just really don't believe. You see, until you get to the place that you're not trying to answer him, you're not going into that arena with him, of, you know, boxing arena, where you're going to duke it out with the devil and try to convince him that you're healed. Forget about that. He's going to always lie to you. He's going to always try to convince you that it, whatever it is that you're standing for, it's not yours. You can't have it. You can't have it. That's his mantra. You're not worthy. You didn't do enough. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. You're worthless. You don't amount to anything. That's what he wants to get you to believe. But the truth is that in Jesus, he's made you worthy. He's made you worthy. Glory to God. He's your righteousness. He's your sanctification. He's your redemption. Corinthians tells us this, that in him, God has made him to be our redemption, our sanctification, our righteousness. Glory to God. That's in him, that's who we are. That's who God has made him unto us. Hallelujah. Not in ourselves. I can't earn any of this. I can't. See, that's the thing. It's not about what I do. It's about what I believe. What I believe. Not about what I do or did and don't do. Did I do enough? Have I done too much bad stuff? Have I not done enough good stuff? You see, it's always that. Instead of simply believing that it's all about Jesus. Hey, it's not about that man behind the pulpit. It's all about Jesus. Get your eyes off of man. Man will always disappoint you. They will always disappoint you. You can just simply rest yourself assured that man will always disappoint you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never, ever disappoint you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never disappoint you. Look to him. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at somebody else. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look to Jesus for everything that you have need of and receive it from him by faith. Because, and this is where we're going to get into the revelation. Because he is our Sabbath. What did you say, Mark? Jesus. He's our Sabbath. What does that mean, Mark, our Sabbath? If you look under the law, you're going to see under the law that there's rules and regulations. Do this. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. One of those rules is the Sabbath, the seventh day, that to honor that seventh day. And now Jesus has become our Sabbath. And we're going to see that as we look at Hebrews. It was Hebrews chapter 4. See, I'm going back now to show you how the Lord walked me into this revelation. First, he had me looking at the people. He had me looking at the fact that the number of times that it said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith, thy faith. So he wanted me to see that first. He wanted that to be what stood out in my mind. And then the next thing was, okay, I understand that. But I still got stuck on the fact that, okay, it was their faith, but it was Jesus. It was still Jesus. That's where I was still getting hung up in my mind. And I kept trying to understand today what do we have? What are we looking towards? Because then they were responding. Yes, it was Jesus that they were they were going towards, but wasn't it the words that he had spoken that they had believed? So what do I have today? What do I have today? Well, I have the Word of God, which I'm holding up right here. Hallelujah. I have God's Word. This is what I have. This is where, if I will release my faith in this Word, I can have the same results that they had when they reached out to Him. See, I can reach out in faith through on His Word, on the Word of God. I can reach out in faith, believing and receive. And why can I do that? Because He became my Sabbath. In other words, what happened on the Sabbath day? What was under the law? What was the rules? The rules were this. On the Sabbath day, you can't do anything. You can't work. You can't even cook. That kind of hurts me because I like food. But they would prepare the food the day before. And so on the Sabbath day, you can't do anything. You just can't do anything. You know? What, and let me preface what I'm about to say with this. There, it's the way God used Israel was a type and shadow of what was going to come once we were redeemed through the blood of Jesus. See, they had the blood of bulls and goats. But we have the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that redeems us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So under the law, they had these rules that they had to obey. Don't do this, do that. Sabbath day, keep it holy. Don't do any work. Right? That was under the type and shadow that's pointing to what we have today in Jesus, who is our Sabbath. Jesus accomplished everything. We rest in what He did for us. We take our rest. Our Sabbath is Jesus, who did the work for us. See, under the type and shadow, that's what the symbolism was. Don't work. Don't do anything. Pointing to Jesus and the fact that we cannot earn what Jesus accomplished for us. I can't do enough. I cannot do enough good works to earn what Jesus did for me. All I can do is believe and receive what He did for me. That's all I can do. And I thank God that I am progressing in my believing and in my receiving of all that He has made available to me as I enter into His rest. See, that's what Israel, that's what they couldn't do. And in Hebrews chapter 3, the chapter just before the chapter where this revelation really is unfolding for me. In Hebrews 3, the writer of Hebrews points to Israel, talking about how they could not enter into the rest because of unbelief. So let's turn there and let's look at Hebrews 3, working our way towards Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews 3... We're going to look at, we're just going to pick up in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. That's, we're talking about Israel, 40 years. They tempted God in the wilderness. 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Look at that. An evil heart of unbelief, simply not believing. Not believing what Jesus has made available to us. The writer of Hebrews says that's an evil heart. By not believing what the Word says that Jesus has accomplished for us. If you can't believe that? He says it's an evil heart that can't believe that. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter, look at this, into his rest? They couldn't enter into his rest. What couldn't they enter into? The promised land. He's saying right here, they couldn't enter into the rest. And we know they couldn't enter into the promised land. So what's the promised land a symbol of? Promised land is that symbol of the rest that we enter into when? When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. The promised land is the symbol of us being born again into God's family. Entering into the rest that's been accomplished for us as we enter into our Sabbath, who is Jesus. Isn't that good? He's our Sabbath. He's our Sabbath rest. He did the work. We don't have to. All we have to do is enter into that rest and believe that what he accomplished for us, first of all, that he made us worthy to receive it. Did you get that? You are worthy. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he makes you worthy. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be a good person. You don't have to stand on the corner and pass out tracts in order to qualify for this. You qualify because you're born into God's family. Because you're his child. Not in your own self, but in Jesus, who became your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption. That's what he became for us. And when we identify ourselves in him, that's what's made available to us. That's who we become. How exciting that is to me. To finally see. Because I've seen the terminology about the Sabbath. And tried to lay hold of it. But I tell you what. It's one of those things that kind of kept. It slipped through my fingers. Until here. Really today. I'll just be honest with you, today it just solidified in my spirit. I see it. And I see that Jesus became this for me. He's my Sabbath. When I enter into him, I don't have the work's complete. He did it. All I have to do is what? Believe. Believe what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Just believe it. And have corresponding action to what I say that I believe. What do I mean by that, Mark? Well, if you're believing for, let's just take a health issue in your body. You're believing for the manifestation of the wholeness of whatever it is that's broken in your body. And you make the you believe that you receive it, and you go walking down the street, and the next thing you know, somebody asks you, "How you doing? How you doing, Mark?" Well, I just tell you what, I've got this this thing, you know, right here in my arm, and it's horrible, and you just prayed about this, and you believe you receive your wholeness, but your corresponding action is not there. Because the words that are coming out of your mouth do not match what you believe that you received. You know, what you should look like, you walk out of your prayer closet, you have received your healing, somebody asks you, "How you doing?" Now, you may still feel the symptoms in your body, but somebody asks you, "Praise God, I believe that I am made whole by the stripes of Jesus. I bless God, I have wholeness in my body. My body is healed and made whole." And you speak words of faith. You speak the answer. Don't speak the problem. You speak the answer. And you keep that coming out of your mouth until you see the manifestation, because it will come. It will. The manifestation will come. It will, because God is not a liar. He's not a liar. We have His word that says by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. He's not a liar. He can't lie. He can't. He can't. It's not possible for Him to lie. Hallelujah. So let's go back here. Hebrews. We looked at the end of chapter 3. Verse 18 was where we stopped. "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" Why couldn't they enter in? They simply wouldn't believe. Believe what? What God had told Moses. They wouldn't believe it. What did they do? Well, you can go back and look. You can look back here in Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. When they sent the spies in, the 12 spies, the 10 came out in verse 32, and it says that they brought up an evil report. What was the evil report? Verse 33, and they said, this is their response, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." The evil report was they didn't say what God said. They looked at the natural circumstances, and that's what they believed instead of believing what God said. See, when we pray and believe and receive whatever it is we've asked for from the Lord, and then walk away and start looking at the natural circumstances, we are absolutely no different than them. No different at all. But Mark, the circumstances are real. The pain's there. I'm not saying the pain's not there. But if we ask and believe that we receive in faith, then our corresponding action has to be, "I thank you, Jesus." Just like Abraham, giving glory to God before Isaac came. He was thanking the Lord. He was thanking God. Because he believed that he was going to receive what God had said to him. When we take God's word and believe it, no matter what our natural circumstances look like, as long as we won't turn loose of what he said, if we hang on to it, we're going to have what that word says. We can't look at the natural circumstances because we're no different than Israel. And then when we speak about those circumstances, it's an evil report. Hallelujah. All right. Hebrews 4. This is where we get into. This is where I wanted to point out about Jesus, our Sabbath. Chapter 4, verse 1. Oh, let me finish verse 19 of chapter 3. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. They would not believe God's word. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. That rest is the Sabbath day rest. Glory to God. Any of you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. That them is Israel. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into to my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. That seventh day is the Sabbath day. And God did rest the seventh day from his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. They didn't enter in. They didn't believe God's word. They couldn't enter into what? The promised land. What's our promised land? The salvation that Jesus made available to us. Entering in, being born again into the family of God. And receiving all that was made available to us. What does that include, Mark? It includes all of the blessing of Deuteronomy 28. It includes the health of our body, the prosperity, the financial prosperity. It includes the safety, protection of our family. Every good thing that we see listed there in Deuteronomy 28 is for us. Hallelujah. If you just look at what came into existence after the fall of Adam. Look at all of that, all the negative stuff, and you see all of that completely wiped away. Now you're seeing what you have been redeemed out of and into. Out of all that mess that came into existence after the fall and into everything, everything really that the first Adam walked away from. That's what we have now. That's what we have. Hallelujah. Let me read out of the Amplified Bible. I want to read verse 9 of the Amplified and 10 and 11. So then there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered into God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors, just as God rested from those labors peculiarly his own. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter into the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. See, they couldn't enter into the rest that God had made available to them because of their unbelief. For us today, Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus has accomplished everything for us. And this was the last thing that I wanted to point out to you. When it comes down to, well, one of the last things. When you think back to the times, particularly in John, where it lists some of the miracles that took place, like John chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda, what day was he healed? It was the Sabbath day. It was the Sabbath day. And if you look, and I'm going to have to go back to my laptop here. If you look at the other days, I'm looking here. John chapter 9, verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. It was the Sabbath day when he opened, when the blind man's eyes were opened. So you got the man at the pool of Bethesda. You got the man who made the clay with his spittle and put it on his eyes, and his eyes were made whole on the Sabbath. And you start asking yourself, why did Jesus do these things on the Sabbath? Was he just trying to irritate the Pharisees, or was he pointing to something? He was pointing to the fact that he has become our Sabbath, and part and parcel of him being our Sabbath is the healing of our bodies. Glory to God. And I'll give you one other thing. When his disciples were on the Sabbath day, walking through the field of corn, what did they do? They partook of the corn. What is that pointing to? In the Jesus as our Sabbath, he has provided for our provision. Glory to God. Do you see that? Everything's been accomplished in Jesus. And this is the final point, and then I'm going to close here. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 14, what is it that we have? And Hebrews 14, verse 12 points this out to us. What is it? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, they had Jesus that they went to. But it said, thy faith has made thee whole. We have the word of God that's anointed. It's alive. It's living. And when we put our faith and trust in his word, we receive what his word promises us. See, they couldn't enter in because they wouldn't believe the promises. The children of Israel couldn't enter in because they wouldn't believe the promises. And at the first verse of this chapter 14, let me read it again. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. And then you have his word is the reason. I'm not the reason, but the focus of our attention for receiving from him. Look to his word. You don't have to look to a man. You don't have to go find the most anointed man. You've got the most anointed word of God right here. All you have to do is put this in your mouth, speak it, say it, receive, and it will produce in your life. Now look at this. Look at this one warning here at the end. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. See, when you make your confession of faith, standing on his word, you got to hold fast. You have got to hold fast to it. You have to realize the enemy is going to try to do everything to shake it out of you. And you cannot let him. The word is your answer. The promises are what you hate. And then you have the corresponding action with of your faith and what you say that you believe that you receive. And your words have to line up. Say the right things. Don't be in bondage about it, but at the same time, don't go running your mouth off saying all kind of silly stuff about how you feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is what God's word says about you. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. I want to pray with you. Father, thank you for this revelation. It's been a long time coming. And I thank you that it is developing on the inside of me. And I pray it's developing on the inside of every person that will watch this tonight and in the future. And they'll see Jesus their Sabbath, enter into his rest, receive all he's accomplished. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet.